After Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, from SDPB, it's Giving Tuesday and December 3rd. This is In the Moment. South Dakota's Day of Giving is an annual call to action for nonprofits in the state. Think of it as a philanthropic response to the call to consumerism. The day is packed with parties, prizes, and people helping people through local generosity and volunteerism. We're going to tee things up this hour with an overview of rural philanthropy. Then we will buzz across the state, checking in on daycare centers and community theaters, youth organizations, and lasagna delivery services. And we are ready to meet the people meeting the needs this day of giving. We are broadcasting from SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. I'm Lori Walsh. You're in the moment. News is first. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Well, let's kick off our South Dakota Day of Giving coverage with the organization coordinating the statewide efforts. Nora Linen is Associate Director with South Dakota Gives and the Rural Philanthropy Institute. We connected with her in SDPB's Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City.
Nationally, it is Giving Tuesday. South Dakota Day of Giving specifically started 7 years ago. We're in our seventh year, which is really exciting. And what this is really an initiative to coincide with Giving Tuesday, where we want people to give to South Dakota nonprofits. We have some amazing people doing amazing work. We really want to promote their work, what they're doing, and really encourage the people of South Dakota to give back to their community, to those people working hard. There are just so many great opportunities. So we know that nationally, only about 7% of foundation funding comes to rural communities. We know that that means that our nonprofits really depend on their communities to make sure that they are getting the sustainable donor base they need to do all of the important work. And, you know, I think in rural communities especially, our nonprofits do some things that we seriously depend on. Fire service, there are a lot of times some of our social services, there are food insecurity, there are educational organizations, there are daycares. You know, there are some really important things in our everyday lives that these nonprofits are doing. Mm-hmm. And if we're not getting it from outside, we've got to really grow these donor bases from within. So it's a huge part of how these people can do what they do.
So that brings me to this idea that today is a big day and people are making an impact in one concentrated day when everybody pulls together and says, who are we going to give to? What are we going to support? And then that when you mention a donor base and a volunteer base, it's an ongoing conversation, an ongoing relationship. Tell me about how Giving Tuesday and Day of Giving also are striving to create an infrastructure of philanthropy that is sustainable.
Absolutely. So, and I'm glad you brought up volunteering. You know, we are more than just donors today. So many of our organizations are either volunteer only or just really rely on people showing up and helping out. And you're right, they need that year long, not just today. You know, they need that every day throughout the year. They need them to tell their friends to come hang out. One of the cool things about Day of Giving is we do, you know, raising money is great, but one of the best things is that we get a ton of new donors on this day. I believe we had about 65% of our active organizations that were registered with South Dakota Giving reported that a new donor came to them last year. And that's so important because we can get you in the door, then you can learn about the mission, can learn about the great work that we do, and then throughout the year, you can create a more sustainable relationship with that organization. And the goal is that then you carry that relationship through the year and through many years too.
What's in it for these organizations as far as training, the access to a toolkit, and networking with each other? How do you help platform?
Yes. So Giving Tuesday, South Dakota Day of Giving, we want you to give to whatever South Dakota nonprofit is in your heart, in your community. But we do have about 400 nonprofits that are registered with South Dakota Day of Giving. It's free for them to register. And what we offer is a toolkit so that we can help you build a social media campaign. We have logos. We've got some graphic resources. We've done several trainings. I was able to go to Spearfish, Burke, South Dakota, Yankton, and Sioux Falls this year and talk in person with some people about their campaigns. And then we do have a prize pool. So we work with our nonprofits as they go throughout their campaign and do some fun prizes and awards for them as well.
Yeah. So the planning, the social media samples, asking this question, what do you want to get out of this day? What are some of the responses that you hear from people when you ask them that?
Yeah, we focus a lot on a goal, you know, and in South Dakota Day of Giving, it's short, right? It's 24 hours. I mean, usually you're about a week before, you know, drumming up support, but it's short. You've got a minute to tell people. So we talk about goal setting, a small goal. A lot of times, we talked with Borderlands Horse Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. They want $5,000, but it's like, you know, $100 a bale of hay. So if you can go in and buy a bale of hay, you know, it's a short something that someone can look and say, oh, actually, I could support that. A small piece that they could come in and really know is going to make an impact on the day. So we do a lot of goal setting. There's some that do, I would say, a domestic violence shelter that has kits for new members. So can you donate a blanket? Can you donate a care package so that when they come into this really intense time that they've got sort of a comfort that they're coming into? So a lot of times we see those little bites that people can really, you know, hang on to and say, you know, today I made somebody's day better. I did this piece and, you know, I think that's such... The beautiful part about the day is that everyone can come together and really have their part.
This is how I always come in to a South Dakota Day of Giving. Super excited, kind of amped up, really thrilled to talk to people across the state because they're doing such great things. And then progressively throughout the hour and throughout the day, there is a humility that settles upon me, and I'll end up in tears at some point because of the need. Because of the sacrifices people are making in their community, because of people who have deep ongoing needs and animals and environmental systems and all these things. So I become, I wouldn't say overwhelmed, but like deeply humbled by the work that's being done. How does it land with you? Do you have a similar personal experience?
Absolutely. Yeah, especially as I'm online, on Facebook, getting emails. Just the sheer amount of people working in our communities. And, you know, these are not high-paying jobs. A lot of times these are just volunteers. If they're not volunteering now, it probably started that way in somebody's basement, in somebody's, you know, church community room, people getting together and seeing a need and growing it from there. It does sort of take a step back and say, man, there is so much work being done, but there is a lot of need, and it's really people within their, especially small communities, getting together and saying, what can we do today? It can feel overwhelming, but it is a really special moment to connect with those people and really feel their passion for their communities and for the people that they serve.
That was Nora Linen, Associate Director with South Dakota Gives and the Rural Philanthropy Institute. You can find more about South Dakota's Day of Giving online at southdakotagives.org. That's also where you can link to nonprofit organizations statewide to learn more about their efforts this Giving Tuesday and year-round. Next, we're going to talk with the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation. Their Giving Depot seeks to connect donors to nonprofits in Southeast South Dakota with the most pressing needs. Mary Kalsrud is Chief Philanthropy Officer at the foundation. She joins us from SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls.
We are hyper-focused on Sioux Falls, so we work with everyone who loves Sioux Falls. I mean, Lori, we're right now in downtown Sioux Falls. We could walk across the street, and what are we going to run into? Jacobson Plaza. A bit further south, still on foot, not too far away, Levitt at the Falls, thanks to philanthropy. We keep heading south. We run into the Pavilion, the Planetarium. I can keep going, the Barb Iverson Skate Plaza. Might have to get in a car for that one, but it's still all within this 1 mile radius, all within the last few years of people who are generous, doing something good for this community. And the Community Foundation played a role in all those projects. So we exist to champion philanthropy and to champion Sioux Falls and really make this community great. So when days like Giving Tuesday come around, we want to be here celebrating all the good that's done because of generosity and to encourage people to give. You don't have to write a $1 million check to make Jacobson Plaza happen. You can write a $50 check and make a difference.
Tell me a little bit about how easy it is to convince people that they can do good with their money and how hard it is to convince people to think big about what they can do with their money.
I think that's where we play that unique role is everyone who's walking through our doors has a dream. They want to give back. They want to do something good, but they don't always know where or how. And so that's where we play a role that we can really connect them to where their passion is, that we can find something exciting for them and they can give to that. Our community is so uniquely generous that it's not hard to convince people to give. Mm-hmm. It's maybe not as easy as you think to find the great projects that they might be connected to that they are willing to give generously to. And I think you flip that around. We have so many great nonprofits in Sioux Falls. This community is great because of the work they do, but it can be overwhelming. There are a lot of options and opportunities where you can give. So we help to try to filter through that noise and really just make giving simple. We really try to make it simple for the nonprofits too.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you make those connections and ways that people find the thing that sparks their interest.
Yeah. So I think for your listeners, the easiest thing that you can do is head to our website. We have a program called the Giving Depot. So our website, sfacf.org. No one probably understood that because I rattled it off so fast, but it's the acronym for Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation. So our website, we have a page that is an online catalog where nonprofits can post their new projects or programs or ideas, areas they need funding for. It is a free platform. They don't have to pay anything. They don't have to spend their marketing dollars. They can tell the community what their needs are. So especially as we celebrate Giving Tuesday and we head into the holiday season and people want to give back, they know they want to give, but they might not know where or how. So they head to our website, and we're all used to scrolling. We're used to scrolling through Amazon and wherever to see what sparks our interest of what we want to buy. This is a great format. You can scroll through and find a project that you're passionate about. And we've got a wide variety of nonprofits that I've posted on there. I mean, for example, we have Toy Landing Library. What I love about them is their mission to give kids toys to play. Now, I know that seems a little bit like, okay, yeah, toys, but truly, kids learn through toys, especially newborns through age 5. It is their job to play. Yeah. They are discovering, they're experiencing life through play. And if you put yourself in the shoes of that family that's working hard to make ends meet and you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're paying rent, you're getting food on the table, I can almost guarantee there's no discretionary budget for toys. Mm. So those kids don't have the opportunity to learn and discover. And so Toy Landing Library, that's where they come in. They have an army of volunteers that curate toys. They sanitize them. They put them together in boxes. They're age appropriate. So if you've got an 18-month-old at home, you might be getting a box of Duplos and maybe Cause and Effect, where you're pressing the little button and something pops up. And all of that is in a box that you go to your local library and you can check it out and you bring it home. And you have experience and play for your kids. And the great thing I love about this program is if you've got littles at home, you know new toys are bright and shiny and exciting. 2 weeks later, no one wants to touch them. So the beautiful thing is you bring them back to the library and you get your new box that you get to bring home. Mm. And so what's great about the Giving Depot is that one box of toys is $120. Again, you don't have to write the $1 million check. You can give $120 and make a difference in a kid's life and in a family's life. You know, another opportunity on there as well right now is the Family Visitation Center. As we're heading into the holidays, they've got their lobby decked out in a Polar Express theme. So if you haven't watched the Polar Express, you probably still have that image in your head, though, of like snowflakes and the train. I mean, you can just almost see it. And what they're fundraising for right now that they're celebrating on Giving Tuesday is how do we fundraise to help provide a book, the Polar Express, for every family and every kiddo that utilizes our services. Yeah. So during that supervised visit, they get to be, you know, surrounded by this theme, and then they get to take that book home. And so you're paying for more than just a book. It is that experience and that memory. And again, you hear me lean into my own experiences, but if you've got kids at home, they bring everything into their bed at night, right? Everything that has meaning to them. It's not just the stuffies, but I bet you it is that book. It is that book that they are hugging when they go to bed. And that is what Giving Tuesday is about. It's the memories and creating a stronger family unit and those memories and experiential giving that we're celebrating on Giving Tuesday of how do we lift up and make giving simple for our local nonprofits.
For nonprofits, how important is storytelling and pairing that with numbers and data and impact that people want to know that it made a difference, but then people also want to hear a wonderful story like you just told about the Polar Express and the Family Visitation Center?
Yeah, I think you have to blend both, right? I mean, donors want to see their impact and they want to see the number of lives touched, but certainly You know, philanthropy is personal. I give to areas that I am passionate about, where you're at in your own life and how you see the world through your own lens. And so a lot of my own personal stories are surrounding kids, right? Because I've got little ones at home, but everyone has their thing. And so I think it's when you're a nonprofit, you are storytelling so that everyone can see themselves through the clients you serve and through the community you serve of this is what your gift can do. This is what it can provide. It's not just about 50 people. It is about little Susie going home and hugging that book and thinking of her family. And I think that's what inspires donors to write that check, to just give and make this community better.
How important is this nationwide effort and really statewide effort now to rally the people of South Dakota to give locally to their own communities?
It's so important, especially here at the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation. We are so focused on Sioux Falls. There's obviously other foundations and other organizations that are statewide or in your own community. But I think place-based giving is so vitally important because we live here. We work here, right? We want to give back to make this community better. So I think the more we can continue that excitement, we've got such a great history here in Sioux Falls and South Dakota of being philanthropic. This doesn't just happen. It happens because you're inspired to give. Mm-hmm. And it happens because someone has set the example. And so that's part of the role we play. Again, we started this with We Are a Champion for Philanthropy. We just want to inspire giving because we know giving creates a stronger community. It creates the ice rink that we can all go enjoy, but it also creates those moments of, you know, filling that backpack at Feeding South Dakota for under $10 for the weekend, $10. Can ensure that that kid has meals over the weekend, right? Yeah. And that if we don't all come together to do that, nonprofits can't carry out their important work.
That's Mary Kalsrud, Chief Philanthropy Officer at the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation. Connect with nonprofits across the state online at southdakotagives.org. The hashtag is For South Dakota. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Childcare is top of mind for many South Dakotans. This South Dakota Day of Giving, let's explore ways communities are addressing the needs by building sustainable models locally. Kelsey Sutton is president of the Burke Business Promotion Corporation. I talked with her about three rural childcare centers expanding early learning in Burke, Gregory, and Bonesteel. Tell us a little bit about the organizations that you're working with in Gregory County this Giving Tuesday.
Yeah, we are really excited. We've collaborated across the county with three nonprofit daycare centers. This work started a couple years ago with the GOED grants for childcare. We did both the planning phase and the implementation phase. And we're really proud of it because it's been such a strong collaboration, you know, across the communities, and we all share in a lot of ways. And this is another way we could share to make childcare stronger. And one of the big findings that we implemented from our study was the need for out-of-school care, what we call out-of-school care. So that's after school, and it's also summer care for working families. Through starting three new after-school, out-of-school programs in Gregory County, we opened 90 new childcare spots for school-age kids.
Wow.
And we freed up about 30 spots for infants and toddlers.
Wow, that's amazing. It seems like an obvious thing to say why this is important, but I'm wondering if you could specifically speak to some of the things you hear from families about the need and the challenges that this is helping address.
I would love to. It's been, you know, I would say transformational work for our communities, and there still is a lot of work to be done. So the biggest need always kind of first is access to the spot, right? Like families need that childcare spot or multiple childcare spots. Over like 90% of families in Gregory County have every adult in their household working full time. And so these spots mean that parents can go to work and can support their families. And so access to the spots is critical. Access to spots that are appropriate and high quality for the age of the child is critical, and that's something we've been missing with the school age kids, right? Some of them are either in unsupervised care, or they're in semi-supervised care, or they're in early education programs where they're really unhappy. So that was kind of a next step. And then another huge step is affordability, right? And we've really been focused on making those spots available. And as a community, as a county as a whole, we are continuing to address the affordability piece, because it can be a real burden on families with young kids who are early in their careers lots of times too.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about this South Dakota Day of Giving and any special initiatives you have that you're hoping you can get people excited about.
What we're so excited about is that these programs are working. We wanted to, you know, we set all these goals with launching the out-of-school care, and they're working. They're working to increase wages. They're working to stabilize revenues. And they're working to get kids in age-appropriate programs that are also awesome and fun. Kids are having a great time. But this first year is really critical. We're doing a new thing in Gregory County, which is having licensed supervised after-school care. And so we're changing that culture for families. And we want as many families as possible to experience the programs, to experience the quality of the programs and the convenience of the programs and all the things it brings into their family's life at a really nice price tag that's affordable this first year. So our Day of Giving campaigns, they're not going to be an every year campaign for these programs. The programs are built to be self-sustaining. We knew we had to do that, but they're essential this year to give scholarships to students for after school and summer care.
Tell us the three facilities that you're working with right now.
Yes, they're all online. They've all got PayPal links. We would love to have you guys visit our work. It is the Cougar Cubs Daycare in Bonesteel, Busy Bees Daycare in Burke, and the Community Daycare Center in Gregory.
Yeah. And do you visit? What's it like in some of these places?
Well, I've got 2.5-year-old twins in Busy Bees in Burke.
Nice.
And I go, and there are, Lori, there are a terrifying number of children in the facility. They're really happy places.
Yeah.
The teachers there work so hard and take such good care of our kids. I can't think of anything better to support this Day of Giving.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? What else do you want people to know?
I want everyone to know that it's exciting and something to be proud of when you can work on a project like this in your local community. Yeah. And I think you should shout it out and share it to everyone. And you need to also, we all have to work together. We need more support in a lot of different ways, right? We need local government support. We need state government support. We need federal government support to get kids the programs that they need. So we have to keep talking about that too. And you know that I will, Lori.
Yes, so. We will keep talking about childcare and all of that. Kelsey Sutton, thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you, Lori.
That's Kelsey Sutton sharing the good news about Busy Bees Daycare in Burke, Cougar Cubs in Bonesteel, and Gregory Community Daycare. Lakota Youth Development has been helping reclaim cultural connections for kids since 1992. Marla Bulbear is the founder and executive director of Lakota Youth Development and a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. What's special about the Day of Giving for you in your work? That as everybody turns their attention to you in mass throughout the state, that gets exciting for you to be part of?
Well, it's exciting for me as the director of Lakota Youth Development. We focus on youth. And so every year we look at what the youth are identifying as their wants and needs and wishes. As an alcohol and drug prevention program, we're always looking to incorporate culture and learning and helping them to fill a space or a void that they may have. And right now, this year, we've picked winter for our winter project is cultural arts. Youth are really interested in the arts. We want to help them with connecting with people, not only that, but also creating. And as you know, creating requires materials. And so the year of this season of giving is so important for us because this helps us to leverage the resources and support from individuals, whether it's donations of items or making that monetary donation to help us be able to purchase those unique items that we need for our cultural arts programs. It's really the important thing that helps remind us and our youth that it takes a community. And South Dakota is really one of those states that, you know, we really want to have step up, and giving is an important part of reminding us how important community is. And so when we have, whether it's a little or a lot, it all makes a difference.
Yeah. Do you have goals that you're trying to reach? Is it just a broad, you know, invitation to bring people in to step up?
Yeah, we're looking for two things. We're looking for people to connect with that can help us expand their experiences with the arts, as well as helping them to create some of their traditional arts projects. For example, we have a number of our young people, and we work with ages 12 to 18, that want to get into our traditional dance. And that requires a lot of work and commitment. And those are great things for this age group to develop, is commitment, that understanding that things just don't happen without investing your time and your effort in it, and then you can reap the rewards next spring when everything comes together. And so it takes that kind of thing. And for us, our goal is really to be able to raise that, reach that $10,000 mark that we can help the most youth that we can. And that have identified those interests. And so that is really going to be our goal for this season. And we're hoping that people can reach out to us, take a look at our website, take a look at our social media, see what we've been doing, and know that as a Native nonprofit that's been in existence in South Dakota mm-hmm. for over 30 years, we've got a good track record, so that people could feel mm-hmm. comfortable knowing that when they send whether it's a dollar or more, or that it's going to go to good use, that it's going to be used with thoughtfulness and appreciation that all of us want when we're thinking about giving in this season.
It occurs to me that in the arts area and in cultural arts, that it's about having the supplies, but it's also about the relationships that are formed when you're learning how to do something that might be new to you, and then also the expression that you bring to the table. Tell me a little bit about how relationships do form when somebody is learning for the first time cultural arts, whether it's dance or some other kind of art making.
Right. Whether it's dance or song or creating art in what we call usable art, whether it's decorating a purse or decorating a rawhide box that they've created, all of those things require guidance and understanding. Understanding about our culture, understanding about the colors and how what they mean for you, what they represent. And working with someone that has that knowledge really creates that additional support or mentorship, that you come out of it feeling like you have basically another family member. You know, you have that kind of connection with someone that you can trust, that you can ask those questions that you were afraid to ask when you were, just looking at the whole idea. And so helping to support us to bring those people in and help create and bring those relationships to our youth, I think are really crucial. The arts is something that has always been a part of us as culturally, and as the larger community, we know the value of the arts. We know how important it is to express ourselves in a creative way and have that outlet. And maybe for some, creating, you know, an entrepreneurial experience for them. They may be the next artist that you see winning the awards in the state arts competitions. Who knows? And but if you don't try, you'll never know. And that's what we're here about, is we're wanting everyone to have the opportunity to try that has the slightest interest in it.
That's Lakota Youth Development founder and executive director, Marla Bulbear. You can find more about all of these organizations on this South Dakota Day of Giving on the website southdakotagives.org. The hashtag is for South Dakota. Next, let's take the stage with the Area Community Theater in Mitchell. I talked with office manager Devin Carey. So tell us a little bit about the theater itself and your work with it. How long have you been with the organization?
We've been in this location in Mitchell at the Pepsi Cola Theater now, and we've been here about 20 years. And myself, I think I've been here most of that time also.
And why theater for you? What and for the community? What does a community theater mean for Mitchell and the surrounding area? And why does it, you know, have your heart?
Oh, yes. It is quite a passion for me. I started out with a lot of fine arts studies in college and throughout, and just kind of created a career in performance art. And then when I kind of retired from that career, I returned to Mitchell, South Dakota, and they had an ongoing community theater in Mitchell, and we produce live economic performances throughout the whole season. And one thing about theater is that every single show is different. So there's always a challenge of the type of variety and the levels of talent that we bring to the stage.
Yeah. What are you thinking about this South Dakota Day of Giving? Do you have initiatives or projects that you're hoping, goals? What's happening this year for South Dakota Gives?
Well, this year, as we mentioned, the age of the theater is getting up there. And we had recently found out that the actual supports underneath our stage are getting a little bit too old, that we need to get in there and fix those up a little bit. So we created a campaign a couple years ago called Support Our Stage. And we are successfully getting past the first stage of that stage, actually. Yeah. So we're going to be able to fix our stage starting next year in 2025. And we are now moving on with phase two of supporting our stage, which is going to be at the actual roof of the building. So with the South Dakota Day of Giving, it's always a great opportunity to get out there and explain to people and share with people all the things that are happening in our theater building, and then receiving that support through any type of donation or support of volunteering here at the theater.
Yeah. How many people throughout the community come and audition, attend a show, volunteer in some capacity to build a set or donate a costume? Tell me a little bit about just how all-encompassing a community theater like this one, you know, can be for a town like Mitchell.
Oh, absolutely. So it's Mitchell and the surrounding areas too. So we have people coming many miles away just to come and volunteer at the theater, either performing on the stage or helping build some of the set construction. I would say that we have throughout the year, probably 100+ volunteers that come in to help us with concessions during the shows. Also, to be on the actual board of directors at Area Community Theater, they can do that and also work on like subcommittees of focusing on fundraising, focusing on more of the house production areas of the theater. And then we're constantly looking for more volunteers that will provide their side talents and hobbies, such as sewing and constructing costumes, building the set, Maybe even helping out with the electronics in the theater during the show or during those brief moments where we're kind of off season.
Any great shows coming up or any recent shows that you think had a real impact in the community that you want to shout out to?
Yes, we're right in the middle of our season 32 wow. of shows. And coming up during that week of the South Dakota Day of Giving, we are entered in the Parade of Lights here in Mitchell to promote our show, which happens the first two weekends of December, which is called A Christmas Chaos, which is a take off of the Christmas Carol, but things kind of go wrong. But we have had several exciting shows that we did in the beginning of this season. We started out with the Troop America's Church Basement Ladies, which was actual a bring back sequel of a show that we did a couple years ago also. And that almost filled our house of about 300 seats. And then we moved on to Kate DiCamillo's The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane, which is a popular book. You might know that one.
Yes, yes.
So we did a special matinee reaching out to fifth graders in the surrounding area for them to actually come in and see a live performance, full costume, full lights. And that almost, that gave them a great opportunity to experience live theater and maybe, just maybe, spark a dream of coming back into the theater themselves.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a delight to meet you. Look forward to taking in a show at the theater, too.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Well, we are coming to the end of our Giving Tuesday hour, but Giving Tuesday is going on all day. And there are two more local nonprofits we'd like to lift up today. First, the Black Hills Parks and Forest Association. This is a nonprofit that helps support the many parks and natural beauty of the western part of our state. Andrea Fountain is program and volunteer manager at the association, and she stopped by to tell us all about it.
So Black Hills Parks and Forest is a nonprofit organization that supports the National Park Service and the U.S. Forest Service, and we're here in the Black Hills region of South Dakota. And then we go down into western Nebraska as well. So through our retail stores located at our park and forest sites, we help provide funding to supplement our partners' educational programs. We also support them with grants and programs like our membership program.
I have purchased stickers and accoutrements from these stores. Tell us a little bit about what you're thinking for the South Dakota Day of Giving, programs that you want to elevate for this day.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for purchasing stickers and your souvenirs from our stores, because those proceeds do make a big difference. So even buying a sticker at, the Wind Cave bookstore here, it goes back to the parks to make a big impact. So for Giving Tuesday, we want to encourage folks to become members with Black Hills Parks and Forest Association. Membership supports programs like conservation interns with our partners. It supports cultural programs, like having Lakota cultural speakers come and do programs with our partners. It supports wildlife conservation and then community engagement programs like Black Hills National Forest Moonwalk. That's a popular program that we support out here in the Black Hills.
Yeah. One of the things I enjoy is I'm also attached, I mean, like emotionally, I'm not like fiscally attached to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, a place where I don't live, and I used to live there, but I've only visited a few times since then. And so my question to you is, membership from people all around the world who come to the Black Hills, do you see people who want to stay connected to this place and have membership and support, or are you mostly pulling from like local people who feel a deep connection and visit often?
I think it's both. And really, it comes down to, it's all circular. It's if you purchase a sticker in the store and that supports an educational program that somebody from somewhere else in the world connects to, like you with the aquarium, they want to continue staying engaged because of of that connection. And I think we see, yeah, we see that all over. It's building those deep connections. It's creating educational opportunities, you know, training the intern to give a fantastic, memorable cave tour, or creating an opportunity like a Junior Ranger program that connects an entire family. So yeah, I think there's deep connections, and that's what we're here for, is helping our partners to cultivate communities of people who want to give back,
yeah,
and have a deep understanding of their land's importance.
Yeah. What brought you to this work?
My background's in outdoor education. And I've worked in various roles throughout my career all over the United States. I'm just really passionate about getting people outside. I'm really passionate about conservation and the importance of having public lands. So that's kind of what brought me to Black Hills Parks and Forest Association and the Black Hills. I came here on a college trip about 15 years ago, and I remember just being enamored with Wind Cave National Park. So the fact that it's where my office is now is just, it just comes full circle.
What still excites you about this place? What's new? I love Wind Cave in the winter. I mean,
I do too. It's just such a special place. I think as soon as you arrive at Wind Cave, I don't know, like there's like this magical feeling about it, and there's just so many things to explore, and just so many things that, you know, like seeing a bison every day, to me that doesn't get old, and just imagining like and being so thankful that Wind Cave exists to keep these majestic creatures, you know. Yeah. They didn't go extinct because of that, so because of places like national parks.
Yeah, the so work yeah,
every
yeah,
day.
Yeah. What makes a really great educational tour? And you said, like, helping train the interns to do this really, that can change their life in the future, too. So what?
Oh, for sure.
What is the magic sauce that makes interpretation really resonate for people?
Passion. You know, passion, whether it's they care about the place or care about their job, but just you can tell the people who really, really love, like it's deep in their heart. I think that makes the difference. Like they might not be the best, you know, formal speaker, but that doesn't matter. You know, I don't think that matters to the everyday person. It's that they bring their whole self, their whole heart to their interpretation program.
That's Andrea Fountain with the Black Hills Parks and Forest Association. And we've got time for one more, Lasagna Love. It's a national organization with a South Dakota chapter, and that chapter is run by the Schieffer family. Lainey Schieffer is regional director of Iowa and South Dakota for Lasagna Love, and she stopped by the Kirby Family Studio with two people who are the driving forces behind the state chapter, her kids, Annabella and Alexander.
Lasagna Love is an organization that was founded in California. Basically, we make lasagnas for people in need who sign up at the website lasagnalove.org.
And then Annabella, do you deliver the lasagna?
Yeah, we deliver them.
Why lasagna?
Well, I mean, so it all started in 2020. Me and Alexander put charity work on our New Year's Eve resolutions 4 years ago. We decided charity work, and we love to cook home-cooked meals. And Lainey said, Lasagna Love is I really love it and I really enjoy it.
So you're making New Year's resolutions?
Yes.
And then you like making lasagna?
Yeah, like if this means joy, the economy, this will make her, I love it. It's golden. I love it.
Is it your own recipe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to make a home-cooked meal. It could be for anyone, like a college student. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Alexander, I'm getting happy because I just love lasagna. The more you talk about lasagna, I'm like, oh, yeah. It's a home-cooked meal, Annabella said. It's hot. It's made by someone, and then you deliver it to who? Tell me about how people ask for lasagna, essentially.
Yeah, so sometimes we hand out flyers or put them in libraries or...
Do you make it together as a family?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many people sign up? How much lasagna are you making?
We make quite a bit, but... So far, we've had, we're going to make, like, overall 2 million lasagnas, or 2 million people that have gotten a lasagna, so.
And it's a nationwide program?
Yeah.
What grade are you in school?
I'm a freshman in O'Gorman.
A freshman. Annabella, what grade are you in?
I am a freshman in O'Gorman.
Okay.
Me and Alexander are in the same grade as elementary kids, so we're in the same grade.
Nice. And does this tie into what you might want to do in the future? Is this helping? How does helping people fit in with learning everything you have to learn in school, preparing for college, preparing for a job, being part of a family?
That's a hard one.
It's a big question.
Yeah, it's a big one. But as my sister said earlier, we put helping out in charity on our New Year's resolutions a while back. So we couldn't find one that took people our age. We finally came across Lasagna Love, though. So,
Annabella, what do people say when you give them their lasagna?
Well, people say it's like all nice things. They're like, hey, I'm like really busy tonight, and we need like a home cooked meal, and I'm just like, yay, we got the lasagna love to do, and it's like so good. And people's comments, the calmness just like hit me in the heart, because like they're so sweet, and I just love how people react to them. It's the best thing I could ask for in my life.
Does it make you closer as a family?
Yeah, I mean, it brings us closer, but we are already close, but it definitely brings us more closer.
Yeah. Alexander, does it make you closer as a family, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. For Giving Tuesday, do you have goals that you're doing just for this day? Is it about where, and I'm going to maybe bring Lainey Schieffer into the conversation here as regional director for the Iowa and South Dakota Lasagna Love. For this day, are there specific things that you want people to know?
I think right now we're just trying to spread the word to families in need, and they can go directly to the website lasagnalove.org and sign up for a home-cooked meal. We're also looking for volunteer chefs, and they can go to the same website, lasagnalove.org, and sign up. There's one other option. If you find a family that you think would, needs a little kindness or a little love and would appreciate a home-cooked meal, they can nominate a family as well.
Okay.
So those three focuses, I think.
Yeah. What else do you want to say to people who are listening on the radio, Annabella, about Lasagna Love?
What I have to say is, by the time we started Lasagna Love, I was 12 and Alexander was 10. And Lainey thought that Lasagna Love was a good organization that brings us closer as a family. We were already close, but it definitely brings us closer. I love it. We love it. And Stay Cool. And it's really a great organization. And we just love to cook home-cooked meals. And I will cook a lasagna for my grandparents and for them this Christmas.
Alexander, any final thoughts, what you want people to know about this organization or about your family?
I just wanted to say that if you have time and if you find it in your heart, definitely visit lasagnalove.org to sign up and maybe help the people around you.
Yeah. Thank you for that. You've warmed my heart and made me think of comfort food and family.
Yeah.
And all the things that are good in life. The whole family, for people who can't see, is crammed into our little tiny studio talking about lasagna.
Yeah.
And I can feel the warmth. Thank you guys for sharing this story. You can find more about Lasagna Love and all the nonprofits we highlighted today on the website southdakotagives.org. The South Dakota Day of Giving is going on all day. You can go on that website, find the links, connect with a nonprofit in your community, and find ways to help your neighbors or find a little help for yourself when you need it. That's our show for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.